2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. If you'll just keep your place there for a few moments, we'll come to the scripture in a little bit. We are living in the midnight season, if you will, of the church. The midnight season. This is the dark hour. It's the darkness of night for the church. Jesus says that narrow is the way and few are they who will find it. And we realize that he is speaking of eternal life, that narrow is the way. And when you look at the population of the world, Jesus' words apply. Narrow is the way and few are they who find it. It is not a gospel of popularity. It is not something that is trendy. We find that even among those who claim to know the Lord, those who are part of what we call the visible church, where people are gathered in the world today, even among those, there are many who are not prepared in this dark hour for the coming of the Lord. Jesus says that he will come again as a thief in the night, and we are to look for his appearing. And not only that, we are to be strengthened to be overcomers in this final hour before he returns. And so this is, the Bible speaks of the midnight hour. It speaks of a time of darkness. It speaks of a time before Jesus comes again when the church begins to fall away from the purity of the faith. A time of lethargy. A time of apathy. Much of the church is filled with apathy and is filled with passivity today and does not have a heart to follow after the Lord. In times like this, let me just lay this before you this morning before we go to the scripture in a few minutes. In times like this, we need what God has for us no less than those did in the first century. The first century was a time of darkness. It was a time when there were multitudes of false religions. And the Jews, when Jesus walked the earth, they were in the midst of a multicultural society that pressed in upon them on every side, just as we are. And they needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was what Jesus promised when he went away. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with power, until you are endued with power from on high. Why do we think that in this dark hour, when it's going to be worldwide, why do we think that somehow we can escape that need, that somehow we can just coast in without what they so desperately needed in the first century? We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and that has been our season that we are in here at Faith Harvest, is believing God for what he did in the first century for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. For darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. He speaks of a time when darkness is going to cover the earth, spiritual darkness, not natural darkness, spiritual darkness. And he says, but you, the people of God, the Lord is going to arise in you and over you, and he is going to fill you with his light and with his presence so that his glory is displayed in all of the earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that we have been talking about in recent weeks, it was vital to the early church. It was necessary for the early church. They could not do the work of the Lord without being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It was an essential part of the walk of the believer in the first century. It was the standard for the church. The church was to be no less than God's supernaturally empowered people. Amen. Living in the earth. The supernatural church was his standard. And Jesus, before departing, we've heard this many times in recent weeks, but this pattern is going to develop again because I want to show you something today. Let me just interject by saying here, there are, I know in this church, many who have been asking, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, empower me. I want to go to a deeper place in you than I've ever been before. Lord, I want to know you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. Lord, I want to know your presence in my life. Everywhere that I go, all of the time, I want to know that I'm strengthened mightily by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord gives us these patterns in the Word of God that we're going to see today. And so before Jesus ascended, after his resurrection, he spoke to his disciples. You remember this. And he told them, he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And yet he turned right around and he said, "I'm going to the Father. Do not depart from the city until you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, until you have been endued with power from on high." In other words, that which I have just breathed upon you is like a deposit. I have given you of my Spirit, but now I am going to empower you by flooding you with my Spirit. There is a difference. And so we have this earnest, the Bible calls it. We have this deposit of the Holy Spirit. If you are born again today, if you have been born from above by the Spirit of God, and you as believers know what that means, if you have been born through faith in Jesus Christ, you have this Holy Spirit living within you, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the living God. But he says, don't seek to do my works. Don't try to walk this walk. Don't try to live this life until you are filled to overflowing, until you are empowered with my Spirit. Some of you today, and this was what I started to say a moment ago, some of you today have been seeking that fullness. Now listen closely. And yet you have this mountain in your life. You really do want to walk in fullness. You really want to do the works of the Lord, and you want to know him, and you want to have the joy of the Lord and be filled with the Spirit of the Lord at the same time, whether it's what Pastor Maggie just spoke of, whether it's sickness in your body, whether it is a difficult circumstance, whether it is just a hard, dark place that you find yourself in your life right now. You have this that torments you. You have this that weighs heavily on you all the time. And it's like, I can't get from point A to point B. It's kind of like, Lord, if you would just take care of this problem in my life, then I could worry about, then I could come to you, then I could cry out and be filled and be free to go about doing what you want me to do. And so the Lord wants to show you something in this today. How do you find the fullness of the Holy Spirit in spite of and in the midst of the terrific or horrific circumstances in which you find yourself right now? It is the night season. It may be just the night season for you. When I speak of the night season for the church, you may say, it's the night season in my life right now. It's a dark time for me. But the Lord promises that the glory of the Lord, the fire of God, is going to be seen upon his people in the darkest of times. When evil abounds, the word says, then grace abounds all the more. The more Satan comes against you, the more darkness tries to invade your life. If you will look in faith to the Lord, the more the Lord will shine his light upon you, and the more he will fill you and empower you to match and to overcome that darkness that wants to overcome you. It is in the night season that the glory of the Lord shines and blazes in the light and in the face of his people. It is in the night season that we are to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. How many people even think about that today? To be being prepared for the coming of the Lord. Now, this is not our scripture, but I'm still preparing us for the scripture this morning. We have looked at recently, and most all of you know the story, Jesus' parable of the 10 virgin bridesmaids. And we're not going to read that story again, but I want you to remember that there were 10 bridesmaids. And what is the context and what is the thrust of that parable? It is preparedness. 5 were prepared with extra oil in their lamps, or an extra jar of oil, for the coming of the bridegroom. And it was at midnight that the bridegroom came, that the shout was heard. But the 5 foolish bridesmaids, they only had the little bit of oil with which they began the evening, and that ran out. And they had no more oil, and it was too late to go and find oil. And you, as students of the Word of God, you know that oil is a symbol in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. The parable is about being prepared for the coming of the Lord. And it is about some who have the oil of the Holy Spirit that I talked about just a moment ago. If you were born again, you have some oil. You have a deposit from the Lord. But most of us today, perhaps, do not have that extra. We hardly can get by on our own. We have known the Lord. We pray in times of distress. We cry out to the Lord. But we don't have an abundance. We don't have an overflow. And we certainly don't have extra oil for a time of darkness, and extra oil even to give to other people if the need should arise. It's in the night season that we are to be prepared with extra oil for the coming of the Lord. This issue was preparedness. Don't turn here either, but Psalm 92:10 speaks of something related to this. David says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." He doesn't just say oil, he says fresh oil. "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Why does he say that? Because, beloved, oil gets stale. It gets old. And you cannot live today on oil from yesterday. You can't burn with the fire of God in your life today from only a flicker that's left from what you had 5 years ago from an encounter with the Lord. You must have a fresh anointing from the Lord. You need fresh oil every day. That's why the Bible says, be, in the Greek, in the New Testament, be being filled. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need fresh supply of oil from the Lord all the time. Fresh supply of His Spirit. Now, beloved, you and I have an allotted time. We have an allotted time. We don't like to think about that. Some of us have used up most of our allotted time. Some of you still, if you have your full life, have much allotted time. And the Holy Spirit holds the blueprint for God's vision of your life, for what He wants to do to bring your life to a place of fullness and purpose, His plan, how He wants to use you, how He wants you to be a vessel with extra oil that can overflow into the lives of other people. Beloved, this is reality, not what you watch on TV every night, not your daily dose of screen time, not all of the stuff that entertains you and grips your mind all of the time while we pretend that this doesn't exist. This is reality. This is reality that you were made in the image of God, but it's a fallen image. It's broken because of sin. And the Lord promises to come, and He will bring His Spirit to live within you. He will raise you up in power. He will empower you to do the things that He calls you to do. He has a blueprint. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose. And only God can accomplish that in you. You can't do it in your own strength. And so we have this anointing from the Lord, and we have this allotted time. Without that anointing, it will not come to pass. One more thought before we go to the scripture. Recently we had some torrential rain for Arizona, did we not? We had some flooding rains. And it came and it poured and it poured and it poured. And beloved, when that happens, and Arizona is a good place for this illustration, the only soil that could receive that water was soil that was broken up. The Word of God says, break up the fallow ground of your heart that He might come and rain righteousness. The only soil, and you saw it on the news, the only soil that could receive that rain was soil that had been broken up and was soft and was dry and thirsty. There was other soil that was equally in need of water, but it was hard. And you know that Arizona soil is as hard as rock. And where does that water go? It just runs off. It finds no entrance into the ground, into the depths. I wonder today in the spirit how many hearts in here are like that hard soil. That when God wants to reign and He wants to come and He wants to bless you with the presence of His Spirit, He wants to send His Word that you might receive it in your heart, that the soil has not been prepared. And it just, where does it go? It just runs off. It finds entrance in the hearts of those who have been preparing the soil, who have been saying, God, I want to receive what you have for me. I want the fullness of your Spirit. I want to hear you speak to me. I want you to transform my life. I want you to heal me. Sometimes people press in a long time for healing, but you must not give up in the things of God, because God honors faith.
Amen.
And so we keep pressing in.
Yes.
And so our scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4 begins this way. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. All of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. So Elisha comes to this widow's house, and it is a place of grief. Now I pray that you will enter in right now with ears of the Spirit and listen to what God is saying to you in your hard place. Elisha comes to a house where there is great loss. It's a place of grief. It's a place of tragedy. It's a place of hard circumstance. It's a place where all hope has been lost. Beloved, when you have lost all hope, that is the most dangerous of places to be. The Lord gives hope upon which faith is built. And you must not lose your hope in what God has for you. He comes to this place of grief, this place of loss, of insurmountable problems. And at the very beginning of this story, it is a story of tragedy. But it gives way to become a story of triumph. I want you to see it this morning. I want you to see this story in the Spirit. I want you to see it as a picture. It is a foreshadowing. It is a picture of how Satan wants your walk with God to be a place of defeat. He wants to hem you in. He wants to keep you in a place where you can't be effective for the Lord. Where you can't even be effective as a human being. Where you can't be effective as a husband or a wife, as a mother or father, as a child. He wants to keep you in a place bound up with fear and with bad circumstances, and everything looms like monsters around you in your circumstances so that you cannot move. You're paralyzed. And so he binds you up with all of these things. I want you to notice the question that Elisha asks. He says, what have you in the house? Or what do you have in the house? And she says, only a jar of oil. This morning I want you to hear this question. What do you have in the house? What do you have in the house this morning that you would offer up to the Lord? Now I want to give you, as we go into this, in the context, let me tell you what you have. Again, I'm speaking to the church, and I'm speaking to those who have come to faith in Christ, who are born again, and you have received, by coming to Christ in faith and being born again, you have received of the Holy Spirit of God. This is pictured, it is symbolized in the Word of God again as oil. You have the oil of the Holy Spirit. You may only have a jar. You may say, I'm a believer, I know I'm a believer, and I know that the Spirit of God is with me, and yet all around you is a dark place, it's the midnight hour, and there's monsters in your circumstances and difficult places and traps of the enemy, and it seems that that oil, it's not enough. It's not enough. Jesus said it's not enough. He said you can't survive on that much oil. He gives it to you at the beginning, but never does he say that that's enough. That's why he tells the disciples, wait until you have been endued with power from on high. He tells them, if you remember in two places earlier in his ministry, he begins, and this is not new to you at Faith Harvest, but he tells the woman at the well, he said, if you believe, this water will be like a spring inside of you, rising up to eternal life. If you're born again, that's what you've got to begin with. You have a fountain. You have the Holy Spirit. It's a spring bubbling up. And it is a guarantee of eternal life that the Lord has for you. But then later, he speaks to the crowd of believers, and he says, if you believe, and now he was talking about something that was going to happen at Pentecost. He said, if you believe, then this water inside of you is going to become a river of living water coming forth from your innermost being. Beloved, there's a difference between a fountain and a river. You've heard me say it before, so I'm building upon this foundation. There's a difference between a fountain. You've got a jar of oil, but you need overflowing oil in order to match the darkness and the difficult circumstances in which you find yourself. In fact, to even be a powerful witness for the Lord, to have a testimony of the Lord, you need more than what you have right now. What do you have in your house? And she says, the only thing I have is a jar of oil. Let me remind you this morning that God doesn't require a lot to work with. The only thing, if you bear with me, you'll understand this. The only thing that he cannot work with is your sin. He's not going to take that and work multiplication, work something good, or work blessing out of it. You bring that to the cross, you repent, and you allow the forgiveness of the Lord to have its work in your life. But any little bit that you have to offer the Lord, remember the loaves and the fishes that the little boy had and Jesus fed 5,000? He doesn't scoff at your little bit of oil.
Amen.
But he can't work with your sin. And I say that to say this, if you in your dark place, in your hard place, if you're just trying to fix that in your own strength, and then maybe you can be filled with the Spirit and be a witness for the Lord, and all you have it backwards. If you're bitter about your circumstances, if you're hopeless, if you're angry, if you're playing the blame game, if you're faithless, he'll pass over that. That's not a substance that he can work with. It's something that you need for him to wash away and deliver you from. But what do you have? What do you have at Pentecost? All of those who were in the upper room, how many were there? 120. 120 in the upper room. They had a deposit of the Holy Spirit. They were already born again. They were saved. Jesus had shown the pattern before he ascended. He breathed upon them, remember, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But now we find them in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they have been waiting because he said, wait until you are endued with power from on high. They have a deposit of the Holy Spirit, and they have the promise of the Lord, and they have faith. And you have the same thing. You have the deposit of the Holy Spirit, you have promises from the Lord, and you have faith for God to work with. And so Elisha tells this woman, he says, go and borrow vessels. Go out and get as many vessels as you can and bring them back. Don't bring me full vessels. Bring me empty vessels. And then I want you to shut the door. You and your sons go in and shut the door. Go into a secret place and pour. Shut the door and pour. Now I have to interject that this message could go a different direction initially, because she goes and she borrows other people's vessels and it's going to be poured into those vessels. It could be a message about how the Lord, first of all, you must give of yourself and how you pour into others in order to receive from the Lord. But if we do that, we miss something important that we find both at Pentecost and in the story of this woman. And that is this. There's a principle in the Word of God that the first of, you know it as Christians, the first of everything belongs to who? God. The first is given to who? The Lord. And then more comes. We understand it in our tithing. We understand it in our giving. We understand that as we give to the Lord showers upon us. Elijah goes to the widow. Or let me back up for a moment. Hopefully you're all students of the Word. We're talking about Elisha. But just a few years prior, Elijah, his mentor, Elijah had had a similar circumstance where he went to the house of a widow, performed a similar miracle. But he went to the house of the widow, her son, and she and her son were about to die of starvation. And she said, all we have is a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And Elijah told her, he said, go and make me a cake first. Make me a biscuit out of the oil and the flour. The man of God told her to go and take the very last bit that she had and make him a biscuit. And he said, when you do, your supply of oil will never end and the flour will never be empty. And so a great miracle happened. And that is a principle that we find in all of these things, that the first belongs to God. She had to be willing to give first to the Lord in order to receive what God had for her. This is important for where we're going this morning, so just hold on. There is a principle in this that can change your whole walk with the Lord today if you're in a desperate place, if you're in a hard place. Again, he tells her to borrow vessels, shut the door, empty vessels, to close herself in secret and to pour. Now this poor widow again had a little oil, just like the foolish bridesmaids who had only a little oil but none in abundance. And the oil that they had was almost depleted, and the oil that the widow had was almost depleted. It was a place where she was coming to the end of her resources and the end of supply. You, having been born again from above as believers, have a deposit of oil. Again, Jesus calls it a fountain. But the Lord has for you a river. A river. And he is calling you to do something with what you have. And that is, and we will unfold this, that is to go into the secret place, shut the door, and begin to pour. This widow begins to pour the oil. And every vessel, every empty vessel that she takes, spilled to overflowing, and the oil keeps coming. This, we look at the New Testament and we see Pentecost when the Lord poured out. They came to Him with the oil that they had, and they waited in the upper room, shut in, until He poured out upon them such a supply of the Spirit that they were overflowing, and they went out into the streets of Jerusalem and they turned the world upside down. 3,000 were saved the first day, and it just kept multiplying after that. 120 of them in the New Testament waited in that upper room. They waited for 10 days. For 40 days, they had been with Jesus as He made appearances and as He was present with them after His resurrection and as He was teaching them. And then 10 days, they are shut in the upper room waiting. And how did they wait? How did they wait in the upper room? What does the Bible say that they were doing? They were praying. Now, beloved, prayer covers many things. Part of that is worship. They weren't just begging God for something. They were there. What were they doing in the upper room? I can tell you, based on the rest of the Word of God, what they were doing. They were glorifying the resurrected Jesus. They were pouring their hearts out to the Lord. They were asking to be endued with power from on high and be filled. But they were yielding up themselves. They were bringing the little oil that they had, and they were saying, "This isn't enough, Lord. I need more." And anything that the Lord was putting His finger on in their life that was standing in the way, they were surrendering it to Him. They were saying, "Yes, Lord, I give that. Yes, Lord, I surrender my heart to You. Yes, Lord, I yield my life to You. I can't live apart from You. I need what only You can provide by Your Spirit." That's how they waited in the upper room. They were pouring. They were pouring out to God because He had already given them the Spirit within that enables us to come before the Lord and to pour out our hearts to Him. So they waited in prayer and in worship, pouring out what they had. Remember, Jesus had previously given them some oil when He said, "Receive." And now they were surrendering that in faith, and their fountain became a river of living water. The widow rises up in faith, and she shuts the door behind her and her two sons. In the midst of her, there's someone, I know that there are more than one. There's more than one in this place today that you're in the exact same position. In the midst of her extremity, in the midst of her hard place, in the midst of the darkness, why, before Elisha came along, I don't know what her heart was like. Possibly she was a bitter woman. Why is this happening to me? Why am I finding myself in this hopeless place? Why am I in this hard place? And I imagine she was a fearful woman. She was probably filled with anxieties and fears because of what was going to happen in the very near future when she totally ran out of all supply. Would she be sold into slavery, she and her son? Would her son be taken? Or would they just starve to death first? It was a hard place. But she arises. There's now hope because the man of God has spoken a word. She hears the word of God. She arises in faith, takes with her sons the empty pots, the empty vessels, goes in and shuts the door. I can just imagine. I like to enter into the scene. I can just imagine as she takes her little jar of oil. She probably has a few empty vessels of her own. And all of the vessels that are gathered that are her neighbors. And with trembling hands, she looks. You know, this is what faith is, beloved. It's when your circumstances do not make sense as far as what God is speaking and what His Word says. But you have to look at your little. You have to look at your lack. You have to look at your hard place. And you have to say, God's Word says, pour. And I can just imagine her trembling as she takes the oil, and probably she's having to fight off every doubt, every thought telling her this is the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. And she begins pouring in the secret place.
Yes.
Behind closed doors.
Yes.
And she pours that oil, and the little bit becomes a river.
Yes.
And every vessel that fills, she tells her son, bring me another one. That one fills. Bring me another one. That one fills. Oh God, what are you doing in my life?
Yes.
She pours and it keeps coming, and she pours and it keeps coming. Until finally the last vessel is brought. And the Lord has enough supply in heaven of His Spirit.
Yes.
For every empty vessel that comes to Him until
yes.
He returns, until every vessel that seeks Him has been filled,
yes.
He has enough for you. Let me remind you, why do you think that when 120 were gathered in the upper room, and I don't want this to be at all about the gift of tongues today, but why do you think that in the upper room 120 out of 120 were filled? Well, Pastor Mark, what kind of stupid question is that? 100 out of 120 were filled. If 119 were filled and one was left, you might sit there today and say, well, you know, not everyone was filled on the day of Pentecost. Not everyone received the overflow. Not everyone had a miraculous manifestation of the Spirit of God. So maybe it's not for me. But 120 out of 120 were filled, and it continued day after day as they went out from the upper room. And the Lord has everything that you need ready to be poured into your life, ready to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You just come to Him in faith and believe that He is going to do what He promised that He will do. They were pouring out to the Lord. She was pouring out to the Lord what she had. Empty vessels become full vessels. And Jesus said in the New Testament, we are told, we have this, Paul says, we have this treasure. What treasure? The Spirit of God. We have this treasure where? He says, in vessels of clay. Some translations, jars of clay. Her jar wasn't a glass jar like ours. It was a jar of clay. We are jars of clay. And we have this treasure in jars of clay, that God's power might be manifest within us. Every pot was filled until there was no more to be filled. Beloved, until your vessel is filled, you cannot fulfill God's plan for your life, and you have no abundance for the midnight hour, and you have no overflow for those around you. This is a principle. This works on every level. Let me say it this way. Worship is pouring out what you have to God.
Yes.
Worship is pouring out what you have to God. Prayer is pouring out what you have to God. Can I just ask you this morning, if in your hard place, in your place of fear, in your place of trouble, have you neglected shutting the door and simply thanking Him for what you have, and worshiping Him, and pouring your heart out to Him, and not giving up until He comes through for you? Giving to God is pouring out to God. This is what makes the difference between someone who loves the Lord with their giving, and this message is not about tithing, but people who don't have this attitude of heart. They're legalistic. If they give at all, it's, well, you know, let me just give what God requires. But the New Testament, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their whole life belonged to God. And all of their possessions belonged to God. And it was like, God, how would you have me use this? How would you have me give this? What would you have me do? Serving others is pouring out. Pouring what you have. But first, See, I want you to understand, God does want you, if He is going to fill you with His Spirit, and you're just going to hoard it so you can have an experience with God, God's not into doing that. His Word said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. There's work to be done. And His Spirit is given to us that we might be equipped in all ways to live the life of the believer and to be representatives, ambassadors of the Lord to those around us, that we would have power to give, power to help, power to be servants of God, even to other people, and to serve in the kingdom of God. But first, it begins with the door shut in the secret place, taking the little bit of oil that He has already given you and pouring your heart out to God and worshiping and loving Him and saying whatever you need, crying out to Him, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. In the story of the 10 bridesmaids, these words were recorded. Let's see if they apply to us. While the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept. People around you say, oh, they've always said Jesus was coming again. And it's same thing with every generation. And Jesus said that we would say that. He said, they're going to say, why is He delayed? And where is the promise of His coming? So He gave us warning of that. He says that He's going to be delayed. But what's the church doing today? Are they preparing or resting and sleeping? And in your hard place, beloved, if this is the midnight hour, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit like never before.
Amen.
It is going to get tough for Christians. It is going to get darker. And it's going to be hard. What are you going to do? What will we do? Are we going to wait until they begin closing church doors and then we're going to scramble to get on our knees? Or are we going to be so weak then that it frightens the daylights out of us and we just pretend like we're not a Christian and just give in? The Lord is calling for a generation who will stand in the power of His Spirit and be witnesses for Him.
Amen.
So here's a plan. So I began this morning by saying, and this is my closing, until you are born again, you have no oil. If you're here today and you are not born again, you say, I don't even know what that means. The Lord says that if we want to know Him, if we want to have eternal life, that we must come to Him in faith like children. And we must receive Christ as our Savior, acknowledging our sin. There's no man that can do this for you. There's no priest that can do this for you. There's no system that can do this for you. It is a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He's talking about the rest of trying to be good enough and still failing all the time, walking with sinful tendencies in our life. We come, He washes us clean. We come in faith, believing that His work on the cross was a substitutionary work, that He took our place. He died for us on the cross. We come and we look to Him in faith and we ask Him to save us. And we yield our hearts and our lives to Him, believing that He means what He says.
Amen.
And He comes. He takes up residence by that deposit of the Spirit within us, and we are what the Bible calls, what Jesus calls, born from above, born of the Spirit of God. We have the oil, but until you're born again, He says you have no oil, you have no light, no revelation of the Lord, no understanding. In fact, He says that the natural mind, the natural man, that means the one who's not born again, not walking in the Spirit, cannot even understand, cannot comprehend, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. We must be born again and have the Holy Spirit to grow in the Spirit, to understand what the Bible is even talking about on a spiritual level. All of these in the upper room already had oil. They were born again. You must come to Christ for salvation, acknowledging your sin and your great need, and asking Him to save you. But for those who are born again, those who have been with us here and who are seeking the Lord and saying, I know I'm dry. I know I'm thirsty. The Lord says, break up the fallow ground. That means make your heart ready to receive. Don't let there be dullness or hardness of heart. Open your heart up to what God has for you, the future that He has for you, the plan, the fullness, the joy, the life. Jesus said, in me you have life. But apart from Him, all you have is darkness. Come to Him in faith, bringing what you have. He will never despise the little bit that you have. Come to Him with the oil that He has given you. Come with the Spirit that He has deposited within you. And pour it out. Shut the door. Do not let anyone else influence you. Shut the door and give it all to God. Give it all to God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God requires that we come and we just give it all to God. And say, I will not be satisfied, Lord, until I have everything that you have for me. I need your spiritual gifts operating in my life. I need supernatural insight, wisdom, and power. I need answered prayers. I need to have an abundant life. I can't live this life the way I'm going. This is a disaster, Lord. Do you understand that when He deposited, when He breathed upon them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit, the thing wasn't complete until Pentecost. He didn't leave them that way. He said, I won't. In fact, He said, if I left you that way, you would be like orphans. He said, I won't leave you like orphans. I will send my Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of the fullness of the
yes.
Spirit, not the deposit, not just that first residence of the Holy Spirit. He said, I have more for you. And so it is a tragedy. Listen, I'm almost done. But if you have received the Lord, praise God, what a blessing, and you have eternal life. I'm not downplaying that at all. But you live in a battle zone spiritually. These are difficult times, and Satan has unleashed everything because he does not want you to walk in the fullness of what God has for you, what He has designed for you. And he just comes along and slaps you and beats you up every week. And you need power within you that matches or actually overcomes the power of the enemy that tries to derail your life. There are people who have had far, far worse troubles than any of us in here and live lives of overflowing fullness, glorifying God, even in the midst of all of that. Take what you have, bring it to the Lord, pour out to Him in secret. Your need is desperate. I've asked you week after week, are you desperate yet for the fullness of the Lord? The hour is late. The hour is dark. Your jar is almost empty. And how will you stand? How will you stand? The love of Jesus says, come unto me. And His promise is, Jesus said, if a father is asked by his son for an egg, will the father give him a snake or a stone? No. He is perfectly willing to give good gifts to his children.
Yes, he is.
But faith is the key. Surrender, believe, and receive from him. Let's stand this morning as we close. Paul, if you will come. Now this morning, as always, if you need prayer, I invite you to come. If you have not surrendered to the Lord to know Him, to be born again, come, let me pray with you. Yield your heart, surrender to Him. If you say, I'm praying to be filled with the Spirit, and I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer, come and I'll stand in agreement with you in prayer. But more than anything else, just ask that you do business with God during this closing time. The Spirit of God makes it very clear as I'm ministering. There's some of you that are in that just really a desperate spot right now, and it's you think it's your circumstances, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord dealing with your heart, wanting to bring you to the place where He has ordained for you to be. Don't resist Him. He's such a good Father.